We have heard once again from the Browns in the Greenbrier. We're going to have Joe Batonio join us at 3 today. Very excited for that. It's kind of one of my favorite interviews on the Browns because he says things. And not just says things, but he is very much just Joe Batonio. And I think we've gotten to a point, we got this, you know, somewhere year 6, year 7 with Joe, actually maybe earlier with Joe, year 4, year 5 with Joe, where it's just like, oh, our old friend's stopping by. Cool. That's where we've been for a while with Joe Batonio. So very excited to talk with him. We've heard a lot from training camp today. Oh, by the way, a couple deals have gone through in baseball. We'll get to as well as the Guardians start. It can't be a big series because it's an NL team, but it is the league leading Philadelphia Phillies coming, or the Guardians going to Philly to start a 3-game set. And pretty much in every one of these matchups, the Phillies have the better starting pitcher on the bump or the better pitcher on the bump to start the game. Because I think one of the games is bullpen game. I could be wrong on that. Now, I digress. So we heard a lot in Berea today. And when we had Fedor on yesterday, we got into the conversation about Nick Chubb and the fact that if he is not off the PUP list before the end of training camp, then he has to, then if he's staying on that list, that means he's going to miss the first 4 games of the season. And yet, we heard today, everybody out at training camp at the Greenbrier talking about Nick Chubb staying after practice, running full sprints under the guise of 2 team trainers. I believe Jimmy Haslam was out there. It was a conclave of people watching Nick Chubb and multiple reporters saying the dude doesn't look like he's lost a step, which is wild. And here's the thing. I actually, everybody that tweeted it are people that would know. And it's not people who would just say that for effect. And there are a few of those in Cleveland media. I'm not going to call them names. I'll text it to you. But, like, I believe that it's true. But this conversation and this fascination with the beginning of the season, specific to either Nick Chubb or Deshaun Watson, I do think tends to obscure the bigger point, which is making sure those guys are built to last once they actually hit the field. But Kevin Stefanski today at training camp did talk about if Nick Chubb being on the field is a sign for practices today, if that's a sign that he's closer to a return.
I don't know specifically to that. He's progressing exactly where he should be. You know Nick, I know Nick. I mean, he's pushing it. He's doing everything that they're asking him to do, and as much as he can do more than that within reason and within what the medical side wants him to do. But it's good to have him out here, period. We always love when Nick's out there at practice. He's somebody that even when he's not in the given play, he can make a big impact on it. But I wouldn't say him being out there is a indication of, you know, when he's back. He'll be back when he's back.
So is that's vintage Kevin Stefanski, by the way. He'll be back when he'll be back. That's not a criticism, by the way. It just makes me chuckle when Kevin goes full Kevin. I think the Chubb stuff's really interesting. I see the advantage of Nick Chubb not playing till week 5 or not playing till week 8. He's a 27, 28-year-old running back, and although he doesn't have the kind of tread on his tires because he's shared the backfield with Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson and I was going to say Jerome Ford, but Jerome didn't play a lot 2 years ago. Jerome took over for him last year. But they haven't really, if you compare his touches to like Derrick Henry, they didn't treat Nick Chubb like a bell cow back. Not like to the point where every year we're talking about 350 touches and the risk that comes with that. So the reality we're having this conversation is because he's coming off a incredibly serious injury that from the outset, most people thought he'd be lucky if he got back 75% of what he was before the injury. Now, as you and I both said, we know Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb and that Nick Chubb is a workhorse and that if anyone can do this, like I just have got to the point where I'm not doing it. I'm not counting out Nick Chubb. Oh, he'll never be elite again. Okay. I'll see you when you're ready to eat those words. I'll be eating a double cheeseburger, teasers, and a milkshake, courtesy of Daryl Ryder for something else at that point. But you go ahead and enjoy eating those words. But I think what's interesting about, we're just so obsessed with, man, you got to hit the ground running. Got to hit the ground running. You got to be able to get, you got to stack wins early. And by the way, every team in the NFL is thinking that. Chiefs fans have understood. I mean, they hit that midseason lag last year where it looked like they went from being the best team in football to being a borderline playoff team, but they had stacked wins, so all of a sudden, the farthest they fell was to the third spot in the AFC. The Browns last year, they did stack wins. Kevin is kind of Mr. September. Kevin really has not had a bad September. So I understand the premise of this, but I think when we come to when does Nick Chubb really, when is he really going to give you value? It's if you can keep Nick Chubb healthy and rested and maybe not worn down coming off this knee injury, middle of the season, late in the season. And I think there's a few elements at play here. Listen, if you just said, would I like to see Nick Chubb week one against Dallas? The answer will always be yes, he's Nick Chubb. In the way that I talked about Joel Bitonio 7 minutes ago, Nick Chubb is very much that same thing. Nick Chubb being in a jersey on the field, being Nick Chubb, just makes me happy as a Browns fan. But I think this idea that you can't start fast without Nick Chubb or you can't start fast without elite Deshaun Watson misses the ever-loving point of September football. And I think you can start fast without Nick Chubb. And I think it might behoove you that Nick Chubb isn't out there. Not only do I think if maybe Nick doesn't play until week five, and listen, if Nick Chubb's ready to go, Nick Chubb's going to be playing, just so we all know. The Browns aren't going to keep him on the PUP list as some sort of strategic advantage, some new market inefficiency or efficiency. But for one, I do think that there is, it's not an issue, but there is a discrepancy in the sets that that Nick Chubb has been his best self out of. He's had success out of the shotgun, but mostly in his career, he's been getting the ball from a quarterback who's under center. That's not what I expect the offense to look this year. And if in September you're trying to bring Deshaun off a shoulder injury and work in a new offense and work in Nick Chubb into a new offense, that's a lot of working. And I think that puts more pressure on Deshaun Watson. I don't know you care about that, but I think that is a factor of that. But to get to the Nick Chubb thing and just this idea that you can't have an elite running game without Nick Chubb, in September no less, where defenses are still figuring it out, that's when I'm okay with Nick Chubb not being out there. Because if I can save 100 touches or 75 touches and throw those to the back of the season or throw those to January, I like those odds. I like the idea of a refreshed Nick Chubb and also the idea of protecting Nick Chubb from himself. Nick will always, this is just who this dude is. He is built different. So many dudes say they're built different. They're really not. Everybody says they're built, I'm built different. You look pretty ordinary to me, friend. I got that dog in me. I don't think you do. If it is, it's a bit of a chihuahua. Nick Chubb has a mastiff, all right, if he's got that kind of dog in him. But this idea you can't have an elite run game early, I actually think kind of brings us to the catch-22 for the Browns. You can have an elite run game early in the season without Nick Chubb, but you need an elite offensive line. And you can have a offensive line that's finding itself under a new offensive line head coach if you have an elite Nick Chubb. So this is a big picture way of looking. Listen, let's be honest. As a fan, are you more comfortable sitting Nick Chubb those first four games? If there's any doubt in your mind about his ability to play in those four games, so basically starting those four games in the PUP list, or is just having Nick Chubb on the roster week one going to give you confidence that maybe you lack right now? Because I think in this whole conversation, it is to illustrate that the offense might not hit the ground running week one. I'm not being literal about that. I just mean be the best version of itself because you do have a new – there's not one spot. Actually, the one spot you might have the least amount of questions is actually your skill players, meaning wide receivers and tight ends. I'm pretty sure the O-line's going to show up and just keep doing their thing because I'm pretty sure the offensive line is really talented and really deep. But it's a new O-line coach. There's change there. I'm pretty sure Deshaun is actually going to be okay because it seems like They're taking the restrictor plates off him week by week, day by day. But until I see it in September, I won't know. I'm pretty sure the new offense is going to be really awesome. But until I see it and see what it actually does and what it means, I don't know yet. I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb at some point is going to get back to being a workhorse and a badass, and we're going to have a lot of fun watching Nick Chubb again this season. It just might not be in September. That's a lot of questions for a team we're all pretty confident by the end of the season could be a Super Bowl contender. I do think it's a real conversation about what's best for the Browns. I think more often than not, you would like to have your best players on the field at the same time as soon as you possibly can. But there's just a lot of new with the Browns. And I also think, I think there's this idea that when Nick Chubb comes back, that we're going to get, that his role's going to change, that we're going to get a smattering of Nick Chubb, and that is basically the first couple weeks he's going to be back are going to be a testing ground for whether or not he can go back to carrying the rock 15 to 20 times a game, or whether he's going to become more of a 12 to 15 touch a game guy. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of think if Nick Chubb is this far ahead and I kind of think we should start expecting Nick Chubb to be back at some point to being Nick Chubb. As I've said, I'm no longer giving in to people who are like, I'm going to be cautious about this. No, I'm not betting against Nick Chubb. Now, all this being said, we ask the question, as a fan, are you more comfortable sitting Nick Chubb the first four games? And the idea behind that is giving him more time to get up to speed to be full Nick Chubb. Or is this more about the confidence in week one? Is it more about, the only way I can be confident about this team against, or this offense, more importantly, against Dallas in those first couple games, is that all tied to Nick Chubb? Because Nick Chubb, let's be honest, guys, he's always been our whoopee. He is. Like, in the same way that, you know what? I don't know, it's going to be a great offensive line, but if Joe Bitonio is out there, I guarantee you it's going to be the best it can be. Because I trust that guy. And specifically, I trust that guy on the left side of the line more than I trust the left tackle he's played with the last 4 years. Bacon Award Gaming on Twitter. Twitter reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland Schmear Jewelry Store, saying, having Nick Chubb week one will give me hope, especially with our barely top 30 quarterback. So it might be training camp, but Bacon Award Gaming is in full regular season mode already. With his thoughts on Deshaun, again, that I don't have a problem with that. Deshaun said today he doesn't give two bleeps what anyone thinks about him. Can somebody just get to Deshaun? Is that PR guy who's trying to pay people to say nice things about him? Is he still out there? Can you just tell Deshaun when you go out of your way to tell people how little you care about what the consensus thinks or the noise? And by the way, I hope it's true. I do hope it's true. I hope Deshaun, at this point, has gone through this ringer. A lot of it seems to have been self-administered. But I do hope that Deshaun comes through this with a better perspective. Guys, when I took the night show, I knew I was a sensitive little bee. And so, how is Nick Wilson doing, which we did at 11:20, can't remember which day of the week. I think it was Wednesday, where we searched my name on Twitter and we asked what it meant for the Nick Wilson brand. That was a way of me conditioning myself to see what people say, because I'm not good. I don't know if you guys know this. People on social media are not nice. Yeah, they very rarely. It's there's no in between. It's like, you know, that Nick Wilson guy, I like when he messes around, but sometimes I don't like his sports takes. That'd be a very even keeled analysis of me from you, the fan. No, he's a fat loser and I hope he dies. Or I think this guy invented radio. There's really no in between on social media. So I hope that Deshaun is right. But anytime you say, I don't give a bleep about what people, or two bleeps. He said two bleeps. It probably means you give at least two bleeps. Now, moving back to Nick Chubb here, I think there's just unknowns. Obviously, Nick Chubb's health is unknown. Obviously, Deshaun's health is an unknown. But I think if you look through the last 2 years, and specifically the last year, I think some of the reason why Kevin Stefanski tried to keep a lot of the Kubiak West Coast offense quarterback under center and then just marry some concepts, right? Oh, here is this shotgun spread kind of package here, and here's this one, and here. I think some of that actually probably was in the mindset of making sure you were still putting Nick Chubb in a situation where he's been, and it's not even most successful. He's had success in every kind of way. But in every kind of, he's been good out of the shotgun. He's been good as a single back. He's been good. I can't remember the last time I saw him play an I formation, but he's been good out of that. There's really not been one formation I think I've seen Nick Chubb struggle out of. But yet, a bulk of his time in the NFL has come with the quarterback under center in this West Coast offense where he's getting the ball a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, or he's getting the ball from a different point in the field. I think that is a huge unknown, whether there's going to be ways, well, basically whether if you're Kevin Stefanski, you're still going to try and balance those two things. I also think the offensive line's an unknown. I know we got Joel coming up in 32 minutes. I think what's been really interesting is to hear people talk about the new offensive line coach, the new offensive line regime, and what that means for the Browns. Because I'll say it, for a team most of the time in the last 5 years, after year one with Kevin Stefanski, there was a lot of known. There was, right? You kind of figured out Joe Woods, and for those first 3 years, you kind of knew who Joe Woods was. You knew what to expect from his defense, even if you didn't know what quality to expect from his defense. But like, you knew what to expect from the offensive line, whether it was scheme or basically it's the fix-all, it's the Band-Aid. If Bill Callahan was your O-line coach, you could say, well, I don't know if Nick Harris or Ethan Posick can be a good center in the NFL, but I'm going to give Bill Callahan a shot. AVP. Well, I don't know what he does because he doesn't call plays, but I know he's got the ear of Kevin Stefanski, and I know what the offense is going to look like with those two guys at the helm. Last year, the first big change we saw with Kevin that wasn't shooing Baker Mayfield away was the Jim Schwartz hire. And so the way we're talking about the offense this year is the way we're talking about the defense last year. I knew a little bit more about the wide nine, having loved that in Philadelphia once upon a time and Tennessee once upon a time. But like, so I knew what it should look like, but who was going to prosper? Like, I was hopeful for JOK. Guys, nobody saw JOK becoming somebody that was rated the sixth best linebacker in the NFL last year in one season in Jim Schwartz's defense. I was bullish on the dude getting back to who he had been as a rookie. I didn't know he was going to be that good. So I didn't know how the corners were going to look. I didn't know you had enough safeties to make it through the year. Grant Delpit prospered, got a contract extension halfway through the year. I think the offensive line is probably the biggest I don't know that is a double I don't know. So with Deshaun, I'm actually reasonably confident that I've talked myself into the fact that, well, Deshaun seems to be progressing. Deshaun actually talked about that a little bit today, saying every day's a milestone and other cliches. But like, I'm pretty confident Deshaun's going to be able to at least be healthy in September coming out of the gate. I'm pretty confident that at some point this season, Nick Chubb is going to be able to be on the field and maybe surprise people. I actually thought the Monin boys, Lima and Danny, had a great conversation about comeback player of the year the other day. And they were talking about Deshaun Watson maybe being that guy this year. And I thought it was a great conversation about that's a sympathetic award. will DeSean get sympathy because he's coming off an injury, that kind of stuff. I think the clear winner, if there's a comeback player of the year award, it's going to be DeSean. I'm pretty sure DeSean is going to be okay. Even if it's not, or DeSean, I'm pretty sure Nick Chubb is going to be fine this year, even if he isn't 1,500 yards a year Nick Chubb ever again. I have no idea what to expect from the offensive line. I know that they've got at least six talented dudes who I really think are just good offensive linemen. And you got three tackles I really like. You've got three interior players that at points have been the class of the NFL. And I actually think, there's about 16 or 17, maybe 18 offensive linemen in camp. And if you look at them, there's a lot of experience. Like, they drafted Zach Zinter. They got the kid from Ohio State 2 years ago, the interior offensive lineman, who I think maybe sets up as Poshick's replacement one day. You've obviously got DeJuan Jones. You've got the kid, the international kid that was signed after the draft, who's going to take, if he makes the roster, will be take up basically not a roster spot because he can take up an international slot. There's a lot here. But I don't know what these guys look like without Bill Callahan. And I don't think the last 4 years of success on the O-line is all about Bill Callahan. I think Joe Bitonio was a pretty damn good offensive lineman before Bill Callahan showed up. I also think Jack Conklin was a damn good player in Tennessee before he signed with the Cleveland Browns the year that that Bill Callahan came here. I also doubt, I'm intrigued. There's no doubt here. I'm intrigued whether it was Bill Callahan's decision to draft Jedrick Wills over Tristan Wirfs. One of those two players has become an elite level left tackle, and it has not been Jedrick Wills. Wills went 10th, Wirfs, I think, went 13th or 14th. Now, that being said, there's also a part of me that goes, maybe Jed Wills will be like Wyatt Teller. Maybe both these guys will have a different relationship with their O-line coach, and maybe that'll lead to better play from them. But I don't think I can assume the O-line is actually going to be better without Bill Callahan, because Andy Dickerson has a good reputation around football, and Bill Callahan's reputation as an O-line coach, as just an offensive coordinator, as the whole damn thing, is beyond reproach. Andy Dickerson can be a good offensive line coach, and you could still suffer because Bill Callahan is elite. And we're going to play some of the Wyatt Teller stuff here about, you know, he's excited for this season. I actually do, like, getting back to the I don't know. I don't know how much going from one to another is really going to change that much. I also don't know that changing offensive line coaches at a pivotal point in 33, 34-year-old Joe Bitonio's career, I think Wyatt's going to be 30 this year. Jack Conklin's probably in his last year here. If he doesn't get dealt like before the season, if somebody makes an offer, if somebody needs a tackle, Jed could be in his last year. I'm pretty optimistic about the other I don't knows with the Cleveland Browns. The biggest I don't know, and I have no idea whether to feel positive or negative, is 100% the difference in offensive line coaches. Because it has been very rare with this set of guys that the five guys that start the season are the five guys that finish the season. So as long as those first five guys that I really like and really trust, or five of the six guys are out there playing, I'm going to have confidence. It's when all of a sudden we're playing Zach Zinter week 8, or when we're if DeJuan Jones has to sit on the bench for 6 weeks, and does he bulk up in not the best way? Like me, since coming home from Ohio. Are from North Carolina to Ohio. We do have Joe Bitonio coming up in just about 20 minutes here, but I got to use a machete today. There's not like a topic involved with this. I'm just bragging that today I could have, Well, I had to finally, I know I've said this like five times. I actually finished off the whole thing with the old house. So I'm done. I don't have to go back there. I in a weird way, it was a little bittersweet. I got oddly emotional today. That was great. Again, me and Peter Lerner synced up. If he's oddly emotional, this will make a lot of sense later. But like, I had to go back. And one of the things, so I was reading through the terms of turning the property back over. And if you don't mow the lawn, the charge is anywhere from $1 to $700. And I was like, $100 I could have done. Like basically what they don't give you back off your security deposit. I was like, $100. But it was the $600 in fluctuation that was a no-go for me. I was like, I could do $100. If they're paying some, and by the way, they're not paying somebody $700 to do the lawn, just so we know. But if they're going to take that, maybe I'll do it. So I went back this morning, but I realized my weed eater was busted. And so I could have theoretically bought a new weed eater, but it's like, why am I going to pay? And I know you can get them for cheaper than this, but why am I going to pay $150 for a good weed eater when I have one? It's just not working. I just need to get it fixed because then I'll have one that doesn't work that I need to get fixed and pay more money for it. So anyways, I got a machete. And you know the only thing I realized about machetes? Man, your arms get tired as hell with those things. Like, I've seen the movie Machetes, or I've seen all the Machetes. And in it, he never just kind of like rubs his arm because he's like, God, this thing's heavy. He just is swinging that machete as if repetitive motion. You swing that sucker 40 times in a row and you're like, ooh, okay. And me and Dustin both have tennis elbow now. Him because he plays tennis, me because I swung a machete about 700 times today.
We could just combine the two, Dustin and tennis. We could call him Dennis. It's fine.
It made me immediately think of the Dennis system from Always Sunny, and about 12 of you will get that. And also kind of something Dustin would do is come up with the Dennis system. Now, while we've talked about our very own AFC North quarterback, kind of a wonky couple first few days in camp. I don't know if anybody saw with Russell Wilson, he's got a calf injury. And so he's going to be limited or missing some time early in camp. It's not thought to be a serious injury, but I thought it was really interesting that that was the news yesterday. He's got a calf injury. It's going to hold him back early in camp. And Mike Tomlin sure seems to be going all in on the idea that that there's a quarterback competition going on. So it's really interesting to see, like, the first thing I saw when I opened Twitter after swinging the machete 700 times was that Justin Fields apparently connected on, like, a 25-yard bomb, which I didn't know those could be, but a 25-yard bomb with George Pickens today, who also apparently George Pickens screamed at the new wide receivers coach yesterday. It really is. Early training camp is just the giving tree. We got like, four storylines on Dallas already. Jerry Jones comparing himself to Pat Mahomes the other day, which you have to be on peyote to try and compare yourself to Pat Mahomes. But I really think that, so there are two situations right now going on with other AFC North quarterbacks, and I think the Russ Wilson thing is one. Because I'll be honest with you, Russ does not have the best reputation when it comes to the grit factor, if you will. I'm trying to say in a nice way because he has been accused of loafing by his old Seattle teammates. And I can't imagine why Russ Wilson, on his last, maybe his last chance to be a starter in the NFL, with a head coach who's pretty adamant that there's a quarterback battle going on, if this is like a minor thing that Russ is being a baby about, feels like a lot of not really understanding the assignment for Russell Wilson. So that is one factor. I do think this is at least an opportunity momentarily for Justin Fields. And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather see Russell Wilson on the field this year than Justin Fields. Because Russ, once upon a time, was an elite. He was an elite running quarterback because he wasn't a running quarterback. He was a passing quarterback first, a pass-first quarterback. But he was elite in movement, and he could do kind of what some of what you're hoping Deshaun can do, a lot of what Mahomes does, where if you allow him to have extra time to make plays on the run, it's going to hurt you because he's not going to turn it into a 25-yard run. He could, but he's not. He's going to turn it into a 25-yard to 30-yard touchdown pass. I don't know Russ has that anymore. And I think Russ really doesn't fit the Arthur's. I don't know Justin Fields does either. But I don't know. Russ does just not fit anything Arthur Smith has done at quarterback. Justin Fields at least has elite, like, playmaking with his legs that could buy him time to develop as a passer. Like that, by the way, that's Lamar. Lamar as a rookie was an elite runner, and it took him, his numbers were really good the next year. But it took him a couple years to develop as a passer to the point where you could say either one of those really scared the crap out of you. And then last year was healthy in MVP season. Justin's finally in a context where somebody might look at this and go, okay, maybe we didn't get exactly what we wanted to this year, but let's keep building around him and see what else we can get out of him. Give me Russ Wilson, not Justin Fields. The other big thing was for the 4th of 5 training camp practices, Lamar Jackson has been sidelined with an illness. He did not practice today. And the team released this press statement that said he continues to undergo further evaluation and receive care from our medical team. Now, listen, I know he's a Raven. We hope that this isn't something more serious. We really hope it isn't. I mean, I don't wish any kind of serious illness. This is really interesting. And I think the team is being vague on it because it involves things that aren't just like specific injuries, which you can be a little bit more definitive on. Every state has different rules on how forthcoming you can be about illnesses. But it harkened back to Rob Long of the Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 The Fan. Keith, did he join us this week or last week? Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, I believe
circle.
It was Monday.
Monday. Time is a flat circle. I could not remember. But Rob had this to say about Lamar and something he's looking to this year beyond just, can he be an MVP for the third time?
For me, you know, Lamar Jackson and his health, I love Lamar, but if it's not injuries, it's been sicknesses throughout his career. I don't know what the recent one is, but, you know, it's become, for me personally, it's not a talking point around town, but for me, if you ask me personally, it's become a thing. Every year there's either a health issue, meaning a sickness. You know, he can't help COVID, but it was there. Or it's an injury, so I hope he comes back healthy. Whatever he's dealing with, take all the time you can. You're a veteran quarterback, 2-time MVP, you'll be fine.
And when we followed up with Rob, apparently this isn't the first illness that Lamar has had that has cost him either practice time or something like that. So every little thing matters when it comes to this division this year. And I know, like, it's tough to feel good about, like, Greg Newsom having hamstring surgery. They say he's going to be ready for week one. We hope that's true. But, like, him not being in camp, not being able to practice in camp the way he normally would, that's a concern. Dalvin Tomlinson needing his knee scoped is a concern, especially because when big guys start having knee problems, you start to worry about the collateral, that kind of consistent issue maybe popping up with especially guys built like defensive tackles. But I think, 5 days into training camp in the AFC North, and I think it's really interesting that two of the quarterback situations are things that you should pay attention to. It's not, I don't know that either one of these are going to cost anybody time, but they are certainly worth paying attention to.